Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Kong Hee.
Now for us here in City Harvest Church, this is the year of relationship. This is a year of discipleship. But our love relationship with one another, with God, will never come to its fullest intent, will never be totally complete without you and me knowing God as Father. In fact, this is the reason why Jesus came. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Jesus came to bring us to Father God. The Jews in his days had an imagery of God as a very strict and unforgiving judge. And Jesus Christ wanted to change all that. Now, John 17 is Jesus' great priestly prayer. And I want you to see how he started off his prayer. Jesus spoke these words, verse 1, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Jesus said, Father. The only way Jesus Christ knew God was knowing him as his Father. In fact, for at least 6 times, maybe 7, in this one chapter, Jesus addressed God as his Father. In verse 26, Jesus says, and I have declared them your name and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. What was that special name? That special name of God that Jesus Christ had come to reveal and to remind his people. It could not have been Jehovah, because the Jews have known Jehovah and mentioned that name in all the temple ceremonies, in the day in and day out, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. They've been knowing that name, saying that name for 1,500 years. But the forgotten name that Jesus Christ have come back to remind the people was the name Father. The name Father they have long forgotten. More than any other name, that's the name that God wants us to know him by. More than Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. More than Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. More than Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, our victory. God wants us to know him by the name Father, the name Daddy. You know, one day, little Dayan, I have a 7-year-old son called Dayan, and one day he was in church, and after service, I was in the guest room, and little Dayan just finished Sunday school, children's church, and he got a little mischievous streak, must have picked up from my wife's son. Anyway, so Dayan just got back from Sunday school, children's church, came to the guest room, came to the back room, and I was busy working, and he came, and he said, for the first time I ever heard from his mouth, Pastor Kong! I got a shock. I said, say that again. Pastor, how are you? I said, don't call me Pastor Dayan. Come on, call that name. Oh yeah, Dr. Kong Hee. See how mischievous he is? I said, please don't call me doctor. Oh, Mr. Kong, how are you? I said, Dayan. Please, say that name. All right, Daddy. Papi! And I gave him a hug. And you know what? That's how I felt. I didn't want my son to call me by my titles or to call me by what I can do for him or my role or my responsibility. I wanted to hear the word Daddy. I wanted to hear him say, Papi. You know, without the revelation of God as Father in our lives, our relationship with him will never come to its fullest intent. At best, it will only be superficial. It will only be distant. You know what, friends? The big question I have for you, and this is a question all of us got to ask time and time again. What is the picture of God in our mind? Because our relationship with him will be based on how we visualize him. What is the imagery of God in your mind, in my mind? What do you think of when you hear the word Father? Do you immediately think of warmth and affection and tenderness? Or what comes to your mind? Could it be, when you hear the word Father, could it be a strict, unforgiving judge? What do you think of, a father or a judge? I've been doing a lot of home visitations, hospital visitations, to visit our sick members and to be able to lay hands and pray for them. And I'm probably doing about 8 to 12 visitations around that region every single week. And I realized that whenever I do a home visitation, very often more and more Singaporeans are having pets and dogs. And I'll be greeted by the family dogs. How many of you have dogs at home? Put up your hands. Right? And I realized the way dogs greet you is often a good reflection of the type of home that you're visiting. For example, the moment I come in, if the family dog begin to cower and begin to look very fearful and tremble and shy away, immediately I know it must be a very strict, austere, harsh, and maybe even abusive family. But if I come in and the family dog smiles at me and lips upon me exuberantly and lick my face and give me a facial that I didn't ask for, immediately I know this must be a very warm, loving family. The way they greet you reflects their upbringing. Do you know it's exactly the same when God reaches out to us or draws near to us? Our past experiences often determines how we respond to Him. In the Old Testament, there was a weeping prophet by the name of Hosea. And one time he heard the voice of God saying this. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him as a son and brought him out of Egypt. But the more I call out to him, the more he rebelled, sacrificing to Baal and burning incense to idols. I trained him from infancy. I taught him to walk. I held him in my arms, but he doesn't know or even care that it was I who raised him. I led Israel with my ropes of love. I loosened his muzzle so he could eat. I myself had stooped and fed him. Here you have a picture of a broken-hearted God. The Bible reveals God as a loving, forgiving Father who is wanting to reach out to us, to feed us, to care for us, to nurture us. But so very often, like Israel, we push him away. We are afraid of him. We think of him as a harsh, abusive, strict judge. But because we live in broken down homes, in broken down families, in a broken down world, you know what? We tend to project our feelings and our impressions of our upbringing on this wonderful Father who loves us so much. Good experiences will bring us closer to knowing Him and understanding Him. Bad experiences will give us a distorted image and picture of who our wonderful God is to us. But I'm here to tell you that God is love. And as a Father, He loves us very much. We have no idea how beautiful we are to God, how valuable we are to Him, how attractive we are to Father. You see, to live a victorious life, to live a life of destiny, to be a world shaker, a history maker, to do mighty things for Him and for His kingdom, we need to have a revelation of the deep, deep love that God has for us. And only when we are secure in His love for us will we have this generosity of spirit toward others. Only out of the sense of God's love will there be a river of encouragement, a river of life, a river of love to those around us. We say in City Harvest, we love God and we love people. But it's hard for us to love people unless we are fully, absolutely, irrevocably convinced that God is a wonderful Father for you and I. Let me tell you, God loves us. Not just, watch, not just as a commodity, but because we are His people. So He's duty bound to love us. We are, after all, His people. No, friends, God knows us by name. He loves us intimately. He loves us individually. He loves us passionately. As a shepherd boy, David's relationship with his own father wasn't really good. For some reason, his dad, Jesse, was ashamed of him. David wasn't treated like an intimate part of his family. So as a little boy, most of his time, David spent with his sheep by the slopes of the hill. I mean, tending the sheep, sleeping with them out in the open at night. He didn't go home because he was not welcome at home. So there was tension between David and his seven older brothers. He was despised. He was looked down upon. At a time when Israel needed every able-bodied man to fight in the war against the Philistines, all the brothers were out there fighting, but David was never offered. David was looked down upon. You're not good enough to fight for us. You're not good enough to represent us. How do we know David was despised? Why was he despised? The Bible gives us little hints here and there. In Psalms 51 and verse 5, David says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Maybe his mom was not the first wife. Maybe his daddy had pity on a widow woman and his boy and kind of adopted him into the family, but he was never one of them. Or maybe he was born out of an adulterous affair. His mom was a mistress. So in sin, he was conceived. We don't know. But when the prophet Samuel came to anoint and select the next king of Israel, you know that the dad proudly paraded all the seven older brothers. But somehow he had forsaken David. David was abandoned with the sheep. He was forgotten. He was not even in the psyche of the family. All the brothers happily lined up. They were the pride and joy of the dad. Usually the youngest boy should be the one with the tremendous favor, right? I mean, the one with the tremendous affection. But he was somehow despised. Very probably there was a strained relationship, strained between David and his family, David and his dad. Later on in his life, David gave his testimony. And his testimony was this, and beautiful verse, Psalm 68 and verse 5 and 6. "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. He sets the lonely in families." What's David's testimony? A father to the fatherless. It's God to me. God's my father. See, David had a lonely childhood. And we can do two things with loneliness, with rejection. We can, first of all, become bitter. So we withdraw. We isolate ourselves in our little world of self-interest and self-pity. We can become bitter. Or secondly, we can discover in the absence of human parents, in the failure of human parents, we can discover we have inherited a wonderful, perfect Heavenly Father. Oh, somebody say amen. We can discover that God is so wonderful. A healthy fatherhood provides three things. First of all, it provides security. You know, little babies are meant to be held in the arms of the dad. And that is why God designed us this way. God could have brought us forth as full-grown adults. But God allowed us to be born in a hospital to be born, and then Daddy comes and holds us in his arms. And the first time Dad would hold the baby in the hand, for the first time he or she will feel security. He or she will feel safe, protected. When we know Dad is around, his presence gives us security. Everything is okay. We won't be exposed to danger. And that's how God the Father is. Isaiah 41 and verse 13, God says, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I will help you. You don't have to be afraid. You will be protected." Number two, a healthy fatherhood gives us identity. It gives us identity. When we know we belong to a father, we have a sense of belonging. We belong to someone. I'm somebody's child. I'm not an orphan. I'm not a nobody. I belong to someone. But when we don't have a proper identity, we will feel insignificant. So we'll struggle to live up with the expectation of others. We won't be free to be who we are meant to be. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." Isn't it amazing? You and I, we are not abandoned. We are not orphans. You know what? God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is our Heavenly Father. We are King's kids. We are children of the Most High God. Oh, come on, you believe that? Give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord a big praise. When there's healthy fatherhood, there is identity. But number three, there's also self-worth. You know, when a bigger, stronger, loving dad loves and cares for his little child, it gives him a great sense of worth. I'm precious. I'm of value. I'm lovable. I'm worth it. So we are little babies, and our dad is stronger. Our dad is bigger. Our dad is wiser, and he holds us, and he loves us. Immediately, life is worth living. I have worth. And yet for us to know that this awesome God, this creator of the whole universe, were to love us and make us his own. Man, that gives us tremendous, tremendous sense of worth. When we don't have a proper sense of self-worth, we always feel we'll never be good enough. We'll never be good enough for God. And even in our Christian faith, oh, I need to pray more. I'm not good enough for God. I need to fast more. I'm not good enough for God. I need to grow my zone more. I need to grow my cell group more. I need to grow my church bigger. I'm not good enough for Him. He'll never be happy. If you have a wrong concept, you'll be driven that way. You know what? Let me tell you this. This may surprise you, but I never have an ambition to build the largest church in Singapore. Never. I just wanted to serve God. And somehow it dropped on our lap, and we give God praise. When we don't have a proper sense of self-worth, we'll measure our worth by what we do rather than who we are. We are children of the King. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're a child of the King." You know, Isaiah 43 and verse 4, it says, "Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I love you." God says, "I love you." You know, one day I was at the airport, and I was so tired. I was so worn out. I was carrying all my bags, and I was traveling alone. And I miss Sun, and I miss Dayan and Denali. And finally, I managed, after so many weeks of traveling and preaching, I finally get to hop onto an SQ flight to fly to LA. I was so drained. I walked towards the gate, I didn't expect it, and all of a sudden there was a gentle, still, small voice that came into my spirit. And I heard Father God saying, thank you for doing all that you're doing. Thank you for working so hard for me. Thank you for all the sacrifices. I love you. Thank you for all that you're doing. And I was walking to the gates. All of a sudden, like waterfall. I said, Father, what a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege that you allow me to play a little part in this great kingdom of yours and to serve you, my Father. You know, when you know God as Father, there's tremendous, tremendous security. And you know, that's why God gave us children. Because you will never get a greater revelation of how much Father God loves us when you have your own kids. When Dayan was about 1 year old, and he was full of allergies. He was a very sickly boy the first year, but we prayed and thanked God for prayer and for healing. He's totally healthy right now. You know, my wife and I, we grew up with asthma, but little Dayan, no asthma. My wife and I, very prone to allergy. Dayan had it just for the first 2 years, and he's pretty much allergy-free. But the first year, we brought him to an allergist in LA. At that time, we were living in LA, and the allergist said that he had 38 allergies. 38 allergies for a one-year-old boy. Now, he couldn't eat rice. He couldn't eat soy sauce. Now, that's a problem. How to be Chinese if you can't eat rice and soy sauce? You know, I mean, the next time grandparents say, you should be so lucky, you know, you can eat rice and soy sauce. And then you say, Dad, our granddad, I can't. I can't eat rice or soy sauce. But anyway, he had a lot of allergies. And in those years, when Sam was traveling and I was preaching, and we would be in one country for a week, and little Dana would come with us because we didn't want to put him with a nanny or with a guardian or in our in-laws' place. No, no, no. Our boy is going to travel with us. So 1 week we could be in China, 1 week in Taiwan, another week in Europe, another week in America, another week in New York, in Germany. He travels the world with us. By the time Dayan was 5 years old, he traveled around the world probably 20 times already. So, little Dayan, very well traveled. But one-year-old kids, in fact, even until now, little kids don't handle jet lag very well. So there'll be moments when he's in a country and it'll be bright in the day and he'll say, oh, Dad, I'm so tired. Or late in the night, Dad, while you're sleeping, come on, play with me. I'm awake. I can't sleep. Jet lag. And when he's jet lag and he couldn't sleep, that's when all the rashes will break out. He will have hives. So one of those weekends, Sun just got back to LA. I think she just went for the Europe MTV Award or something. And she got back to LA. And I was flying from service to America as well. I reached LAX. I call up Sun and say, dear, I'm back. Sun said, you better come home. Little Dayan have not slept. He's having trouble sleeping, jet lag. And he's broke forth into rashes. You better come quickly. He's struggling. Oh, I drove all the way as fast as I could back home. I opened the door, came to the bedroom, and there was little Dayan, 1 year old, 1 year plus. Couldn't even speak yet. And he was rolling from one edge of the bed to the other edge of the bed, crying. And I could see hives over his body, big bumps and rashes everywhere. In fact, one of his eyes was as big as a fishbowl because he got a rash on his eyelid. So he's swollen and he scratched all night. And so there are now scratch marks and bleeding marks. And his body was, you know, covered with scratches. He was crying, crying, crying. I quickly went to the bed and swept him up and hugged him and kissed him and say, shh, shh, it's okay, baby. It's okay, Dayan.
Daddy's back. Daddy's here. And he looked at me. Barely could learn how to speak. Yeah, he go, Papa, Papa, big tears, Papa, Papa. And then he let out a sigh. And slam. With a big smile. I put him gently down. And then I walk out the bedroom, and at the threshold of the door, I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me and say, Kong, that's how much Father God loves you. That's how much Father God loves his children. That when we rest secure in the arms of Father God, everything is going to be all right. The whole world can be breaking down. We are coming through because God is our Heavenly Father. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Oh, go ahead and give him praise. Hallelujah. Healthy fatherhood should give us a sense of security, identity, and self-worth. But sometimes our dads are not around. Maybe there was an early death. Your dad died when you're very young. Maybe there was a divorce. So he's not around. And he didn't keep his word. He didn't come on weekends to visit you. On your birthdays, he has forgotten. On Christmas, he didn't show up. Maybe your dad is really a good dad, and he really wants to be around, but he had work commitment. He had to be away. He had to be traveling most of the time in China, in Europe, in America. He's not home. He's dad, but he's an absentee father. Or sometimes, they just don't know how to love us. They could be very harsh, very judgmental. They have a good heart, but they're just overly strict. And sometimes a little condemning and critical. They just don't know how to be expressive. So they are undemonstrative. They are unaffectionate. And then worse still, we come to church. And we look up so much to our pastors, to our elders, to our leaders. And they're so strict. And they're so cutting with their words. And they're so harsh. So they don't help us to feel secure. They don't give us a right identity. They don't give us a healthy self-worth. David grew up as a very lonely boy. As a very lonely teenager. But what I want you to see this morning is the remarkable depth in David's relationship with God. And he expressed that in many of his psalms. When he spent his nights up by the hillside, for example, Psalms 119 and verse 148, David says, "My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." Now, when David wrote that, he was not a king. I mean, a king does not wake up in the night to do guard duties. Right? David was doing his night watches, watching after the sheep. He was just an obscure shepherd boy. Now, for the typical Hebrew kid in David's times, a typical Hebrew boy who grew up in typical families, God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was the God of the law, the God of the tabernacle, a distant deity. God was just the God of his people. God was a strict God. God was a judge that you better obey and fear. But for David, God was a wonderful presence that wrapped his arms around a skinny shepherd boy. And in his loneliness and rejection, he discovered that God was not a distant deity or a strict judge, but God was his father. Immediately, he fell in love with God's goodness, with God's mercy, and his generous heart. And he became addicted. He had a lifelong addiction to the worship of God, to the presence of God. One night, as David was looking after a group of 16, 17 little sheep, that was his little cell group, by the hillside of the Judean hill, all of a sudden, he heard some rustling in the bushes. The sheep woke up. All of them were looking around. And there came a lion, a huge, ferocious, growling, hungry lion. And you know, lion, if you've been to our night safari, lions are really nocturnal animals. They wake up at night. So there was a lion coming. Now, David didn't have a huge build of physical prowess. You know, he didn't look like his brothers or Saul. He wasn't the typical macho specimen of a masculine, powerful, strong man. David was short. The Bible says he was good looking. He was ruddy. That means he's a little red, suntan probably from being out in the field. But when all the fearful, trembling sheep pressed themselves against David's legs, he decided right there to stand up to the lion. You know what? This skinny teenage shepherd boy, right then and then, decided, I'm going to die for my sheep. Now, nobody saw that, but all of heaven watched. And God's eyes was running to and fro the face of this earth, looking for one man, one woman, one boy, one girl, who's totally committed to do His will. And God was about to show Himself strong on David's behalf. He looked at those sheep of his and their little eyes, you know, looking so fearful, looking at David. David say, fear not, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Like the good shepherd that Jesus talks about, David knows his sheep, knew his sheep, and his sheep knew his voice. And he knew his sheep by name. They were really his only companions, and he loved his sheep. Now, what created, or what would create in a teenage boy that kind of a heart that would say, I will die for you? See, David experienced the love of God. The presence of his father was the safest and most secure place for him. So he constantly talked about God as his refuge, as his hiding place. For example, Psalms 32, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalms 46 and verse 1, God is my refuge. God is my strength, a very present help in trouble. And though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Wow, David was one secure guy. It's like, you know, there are people behind the curtain sharpening their knife, waiting to backstab you. And you say, it's okay. It's all right. God is on my side. What can man do to me? You see, how did David have that kind of a faith? That kind of a boldness? Faith works through love. Faith works through love. What gave David such powerful lion-killing faith? What gave David such powerful bear-killing faith? We have no time, so we're going to end soon. But what gave David such powerful Goliath-killing faith? Giant-killing faith? You know what? The revelation that God is his father. That gave him faith to do the impossible. Listen, God wants us to do great things for him. God wants to do great things through us. To do what is seemingly impossible in the natural. But that destiny is directly dependent upon our own sense of God's love for us. Our own deep, deep sense of being loved by a God who is our Heavenly Father. God really loves us. God really likes us. Listen, City Harvest Church, listen to your pastor. God enjoys looking at you. God likes talking to you. He likes being with you. He's attracted to you. This morning, he misses you. I heard last night before I preached, I miss my people. I miss my children. God misses you. Listen, God appreciates, as we walk through life, he appreciates every faltering steps of obedience. He knows we're trying. He knows we want to obey, but we falter. You know what? When God looks down on heaven, this morning when he's looking down, he's smiling when he sees our faltering steps of obedience, and he nudged the angels and say, hey guys, look at that, look at that. The angels say, look at what? Look at my people. Look at my children in City Harvest Church. They can't see me, and yet they trust me. They can't see me, and yet they love me. They can't even touch me, and yet they kept on going. Oh, I've chosen them to be my children, and they shall rule and reign with me. Because look, every day, they walk by faith against all the evidences of their five senses. They swim upstream against incredible challenges. They reach out to me even when they don't fully understand. They live in dying bodies in a broken down world. And when they cannot see my hand, they trust my heart. And this is the key. Right here, this is the key. Friends, if you miss everything I said, just don't miss this. This is the key. We can go through anything. We can go through anything if we know that our Father loves us. We can go through anything if we know our Father loves us. I can go through anything. You can go through anything. City Harvest Church can go through anything. Son can go through anything. If we know that we know that we know our Father loves us. He really does love us. Give him a big clap today. Come on, musician, just come up right now. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. We can be greatly used by God in obscurity or in leadership, in praise or in rejection. We can be used by God in success or in failure. We can be used by God whether you're celebrated or you're humiliated. We can go on if we know that we are loved by God our Father. A deep, deep sense of his doting, affectionate, unfailing love for you and me. How many of you in this year of relationship, 2012, year of relationship? Everybody say this is a year of relationship. How many of you want to have a deeper relationship with God? You want to know, you want to have a greater revelation that God truly is your Father? Put up your hands right now. Why don't we all stand up on our feet right now? I want all the musicians, singers to come. Why don't we just reach out to him? Just talk in tongues. Just release your love language to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Shikara bahandariya lakara bahandariya lakara bahandariya lakara bahadiya. Shikara bahandariya lakara bahandariya lakara bahadiya. Shikara bahadariya lakara bahadariya lakara bahadariya. Shudariya lakara bahadariya lakara bahadariya. Shikara bahadariya lakara bahadariya lakara bahadariya. I wonder how many of you this morning, maybe because of your upbringing, maybe because of your home, your family, maybe because of the church you grew up in, maybe even because of the cell group leaders, pastors, or elders that you used to have.
Your imagery of God is that of a very strict judge, unforgiving. You can't make a mistake. There is no latitude for error. God is quick to pound on you, to frown on you, to be upset with you. I wonder how many of you today say, God, I want to change all that. You're not like that. That's not the right image of God. That's not the right vision of God. Give me a new vision. Give me a new dream. Let me see you in a new way. My God is my Father. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus went through all that. He went to the cross. He went and forgave our sins so that we can be reconciled. Not back to an austere, solemn, strict, harsh, unforgiving God. Not an angry God. But Jesus did all that to reconcile us back to God our Father, who loves us tenderly, affectionately, whose only desire is to make us better people and bring us into our destiny. A God who just wants to love us. And can I say this, that even if we do nothing in this life, nothing you can ever do can make Him love you more. Nothing you ever do can make Him shut the door. How many of you today, you say, God, I want to have a change, refresh my visual image. You're not my judge. You're not my Father. You are my Father. You're not my judge. You're my Father. If that's you, just lift up your hands all over this room one more time. Come on, let's just worship God. Let's just talk to Him. Hallelujah. Shaka rabaha tadea. Shika rabaha tadea. Laka rabaha tadea. Laka rabaha tadea. Laka rabaha tadea. Let's sing this song together.
What stretches from the east to west? What's higher than the heavens high? What's deeper than the oceans wide? What's greater? What's greater?
What brightens?
What brightens? Of the darkest time.
Oh, what softens?
What softens all the wounded hearts? What covers, forgives the greatest sin? What's great?
God wants to minister each of our hearts. Every one of us, we need to have a fresh revelation of God as our Father. And when we have a deep, deep sense and confidence of His love for us, we can go through anything. We can do anything and everything. Because that love gives us that strength. But this morning, I really sense that God wants to minister to a very, very special group of people. Maybe you grew up without a daddy. Maybe you were an orphan from birth. Maybe your dad died when you were very young. Maybe your dad had forsaken the family. Maybe there was a divorce and daddy could not be around so often. Maybe your dad was really a good man, but because of his work commitment, he cannot be around so often. He's always overseas. Maybe for some of you, your dad
was there, but he didn't know how to show his love. So he was undemonstrative, unaffectionate. Your dad was overly strict, very harsh, cutting with the words, maybe a little too judgmental. He cares for you, but he could have been too cutting in the words, too abusive emotionally. I wonder, maybe some of you here, you went to church and your pastors, your elders, the leaders in church, so strict, so harsh, so condemning. And when you falter and you fail, there was very little margin for error. You felt all the time you can never measure up. If you're in any of those categories, you didn't have a dad growing up, an absentee dad, or a dad that been very undemonstrative and very harsh, or you grew up under a pastor, an elder, a spiritual father that been so strict and abusive. When we sing this song from the beginning, I want you to come today. Today I want you to come, because all of us, you know why? You know why? Because if we don't have a deep sense of God's love for us, then this year of relationship would never really come to pass for you. It's hard for you to relate to God, to relate to others. It's hard for you to walk in the calling and destiny that God has for you. This morning, God just wants to love you. He just wants you to love you. He misses you. So as we sing this song, all of you that grew up without dads at home, abusive dad, strict dad, fierce dad, angry pastor, strict elder, when we sing this song, I want you from the front to the back. I just want you to come today to the front. There's no need for ushers. There's no need for counselors. You just come. And today we're just going to come to worship this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords. You come right now, all of this room right now.
What treasures from beneath to earth?
Everybody worship.
What's greater,
what's
brightens up the darkest time? What softens all the wounded heart? What covers, forgives the greatest sin? What's greater?
Was there when you experienced your first heartbreak. God was there when you're publicly humiliated. Maybe in your class, maybe in your company. God was there when you went back home and saw the divorce letter on your table. God was there when you went to your company that day and was served notice of your retrenchment that you were fired. God was there through every highs and lows because He's your Father. Yes, God wants us to change. He wants us to repent. He does want us to be better. But He doesn't demand changes all the time. Most of the time, He just wants to love us. And He gives us the power and the grace to do His will and be who He wants us to be. There's never been a child like you, and there never will be another one like you. We are uniquely precious, valuable, and special to God, our Heavenly Father. I want you to say this prayer out loud right now. I want you to say, Dear Heavenly Father, you are my Father. Father, Abba. Daddy, you were there when I spoke my first words. You saw me taking my first steps. You were there at my first heartbreak. You've been through every hurt, every disappointment.
Shikara bahu na
Everybody, to stretch your hands towards all these dear ones in the front. I want you to stretch your hands towards them right now. God wants to touch you with the love of the Father. God is your Father. That's right, just open your mouth and speak in tongues to all these dear ones in the front. Father, I just pray for all my brothers and my sisters in the front. Father, you are our Father. You are the Father of the fatherless. Lord, I just ask right now, give them a revelation that you've always been with them. When there was no one to guide them through their heartaches in the night, God, you were there. When they felt so alone and they're not sure where to go and what to do, you were there. Your arms are around us. So Lord, I just pray. I pray, enlarge our hearts a little bit wider, so that we can embrace the heart of God on the inside, the heart of a Father on the inside. We receive your love. I pray that even today, you heal them of every loneliness, heal them of every fear, heal them of every regrets. Father, there are so many regrets that we have in our family relationship. I pray you heal us of every regret right now. Oh, Shakarabahadari. Everybody just talk in tongues all over this room. Just talk in tongues right now. Shatari Allah Karabahadari Allah Karabahadari Allah Karabahadari. Shrikarabahadari Allah Karabahadari 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 Allah Karabahadari. Defender of widows. The Lord is his name. And he set us in families. I want you just right now, just close your eyes. It's very quiet music, very quiet, Alex. I just want you to just lift up your hands, everybody in this room.
give Father God a big clap today. Hallelujah.
I just love him right now. Just love him.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Email us at connect@chc.org.sg.